Hi, this is Kyle Higgins, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hey, this is Chuck.
This is Greg.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network, the podcast that is representing the Geek Oscars once again. Yes, this year, we did it once last year, we're doing it again this year. The Oscars are coming out, but really, these are the real Oscars, because we'll be doing the Geek Oscars, talking about different awards for performances, to comic books, to miscellaneous random stuff. You will not want to miss it, but before we get to the Geek Oscars, how's the week been going for you guys?
Not too bad. Didn't really get to do anything too awful exciting. It's been sort of unseasonably warm here where I am in Pennsylvania.
It's been nice. Don't jinx it for me, Chuck.
Right, I know. And it's weird because, like, it's February and it's usually like 6 degrees. And it's been like 56 the last couple of days or whatever. So it's been pretty crazy. But I did have one funny thing happen. I wanted to share this fortune cookie that I got today with you guys.
Nice.
Because it's really, really strange. Fortune cookies are always crazy anyway. And they usually tell you something that's not even a fortune. It's usually like some sort of ancient wisdom, you know, like some sort of old saying. And it's like, well, that's not really a prediction. But I finally got one that was a prediction, and it was back crap crazy. I open up the fortune cookie, and it says, "Today you will meet a panda. Give him noodles."
Well,
So yeah, I'm convinced that someone was high at work that day while they were printing these out. So I just thought that was really funny because I actually got one, you know, that was a prediction, but it's literally like the strangest thing I've ever read.
Hey,
so. They
probably made thousands upon thousands of those for that one person that actually meets that panda.
It's going to be right eventually.
Yeah.
And you better be ready with noodles.
I mean, yeah. They don't seem like a noodle-eating bunch to me, though. Yeah,
no, you know.
They're more a fan of the bamboo, from what I hear. But
I thought it was funny that it says, "Give him noodles." Like, it was super specific. Like, like you're going to meet a male panda. Like, do not give your noodles to a female panda.
Make sure you check the genitals, Chuck, before you give this panda noodles.
You gotta check. Yeah. Be like, no, I can't give her my noodles, man. It's gotta be a male. It's gotta be a dude panda.
I'm not being sexist. I'm just following what it says. But then if you add in the classic in bed, and then it's like, you will meet a panda and give him noodles in bed, and then it's like, this is
And it sounds even weirder.
Yeah. Greg, any weird fortunes for you?
No, I bit into my Coney Island, Texas lunch, Texas wiener, and I did not see a fortune. A lot of hot dog, a lot of chili and mustard, but no fortune, thankfully. But that was very delicious.
You could probably put a fortune on that. If you keep eating all these, you will die soon.
You will have a heart attack. You will fart out your heart.
You will soon meet a doctor. Give him money. So, yeah, I don't know. My week's been interesting. My son has developed that great skill of object permanence. So what that means is now that, you know, if we leave the room, he gets upset that we're no longer there. So he starts crying. The worst, though, is, like, now, because dropping off him at daycare would be no big deal. Like, he'll drop, he'll get excited and do whatever at daycare. But now he's, like, crying and, you know, trying to, like, look at you and trying to, like, not wanting you to leave and... It's a little tough. I'm not going to lie. It's a little tough.
But, Daddy, stay.
crazy.
You have no choice, Dan. You're just going to have to quit your job and stay with
me. Exactly. We went to this little thing called, it's called Storyville. It's actually kind of cool. If I was a kid, I wish I had it. It was at the public library. It was free. I'm all about doing the free now. It's this like mini little town, and they have a section just for like infants, which is cool. But it's going to be great when he gets older, because it's, they have this town, so there's like a building that's a movie theater. They have a like a house, a doctor's office. It's a lot of good fun for the kids to have. So I'm like, I kind of wanted to play myself, but I, even though I had an infant, I really couldn't use a lot of the rooms. It'd just be weird. But it was a good old time. But yeah, that was pretty much it. Anyways, since this is a week that we have the Geek Oscars, we kind of want to get right straight to it. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to skip our normal review section, get right into the Geek Oscars. So we'll see you in a bit.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Good evening and welcome to the 2016 Oscars. Tonight's host, Movie Revolt Dan.
Thank you. Yes, welcome to the 2016 Geek Oscars, the long-standing two-year tradition that we are keeping up once again. For those first-time listeners, we're going to go through a couple of different categories and giving out awards for each of those categories. They can range from performances to best type of alien races to breakout performances of 2015. And the way this all worked is pretty straightforward. There are three nominees for each category. Greg, Chuck, and I all had it a vote. We all voted. Whoever had the most votes wins, won. And if there was a tie and we all voted for someone separately, I pulled an Iowa caucus and just used a flip of the coin to claim the winner. No, I ended up going with my second choice, and that's ended up who ended up taking the prize home. But that didn't really happen all that often. It was pretty interesting how the votes all tallied out. So, getting into our first category. The first category is in the mode of performances. And to keep this clear, with this being the Geek Oscars, this isn't just stuff that happened last year. No, we're reaching back. We're reaching back to classic stories. We're reaching back to classic performances. This is just geekdom as a whole. Last year, we gave out awards for the best person playing Hulk, for the best person playing Magneto. This year, though, we are giving out the award for best performance as Superman.
And best performance as Superman. Sorry.
And the nominees are Christopher Reeve.
Mark said that you're just a figment of somebody's imagination, like Peter Pan.
Lark, who's that, your boyfriend?
Clark? Oh, Clark. No, he's nothing. He's just a...
Peter Pan, huh? Peter Pan flew with children, those. In a fairy tale.
Brandon Ralph.
I thought, hoped, it might still be there.
Your home.
That place was a graveyard. I'm all that's left.
Clark, the universe is a big place. And you don't know who's out there. And even if you are the last, you're not alone.
And Henry Cavill.
You let them handcuff you?
Wouldn't be much of a surrender if I resisted. And if it makes them feel more secure, then...
What's the S stand for?
It's not an S. On my world, it means hope.
Well, here it's an S. How about...
Sir?
And the winner is, to no one's surprise, Christopher Reeve.
Woot woot!
I guess I'll start with you, Chuck, on this one. Is it a shame that the guy from Smallville wasn't even nominated?
It's a great show. Sorry, start. I was a little disappointed. Although I could see why he's not considered on the greatest list. He's my personal favorite as far as nailing that character, but Christopher Reeve, definitely a close second for me. Loved him in all the movies, even the one with the creepy nuclear man with the fingernails. Christopher Reeve was still good. Brandon Routh, I liked, but I like him better as the Atom.
Yeah, I like him better as the Atom too.
I think that role like just fits him. Like he's goofy, he's quirky. Like I think it's perfect for him. But yeah. I love Christopher Reeve.
So, Greg, I know you're not the biggest Superman fan, but do you even recognize the greatness that is Christopher Reeve as Superman?
Yeah, that's definitely why I voted for him. He's definitely the Superman that I grew up with, the Superman that I actually did like when I actually did enjoy Superman a little bit. So, yeah, I went with him. Henry Cavill, whatever
Cavill.
His name is.
Henry Cavill!
Thank you, announcer dude. He just didn't even register Superman to me. Yeah.
Not Brand Ech.
Yeah. Not Brand Ech. Thank you, Joker.
All right. So we're moving on to the next award, and this award is most underrated performance in a comic book movie. And the nominees are Brian Cox in X2.
I used to think you were one of a kind, Wolverine. I was wrong.
Alfred Molina in Spider-Man 2.
Peter Parker.
And the girlfriend.
What do you want?
I want you to find your friend, Spider-Man. Tell him to meet me at the West Side Tower at 3:00.
Well, I don't know where he is.
Find him. Or I'll peel the flesh off her bones.
If you lay one finger on her...
You'll do what?
And Thomas Jane in Punisher.
In certain extreme situations... the law is inadequate. In order to shame its inadequacy, it is necessary to act outside the law. To pursue natural justice. This is not vengeance. Revenge is not a valid motive. It's an emotional response. No, not vengeance. Punishment.
And the award goes to... Thomas Jane as Punisher.
Yes.
Nice.
See, you both all voted for Thomas Jane. I casted my vote for Brian Cox in X2. I think he is quite good in that movie. Though I can't deny Thomas Jane makes a great Punisher. Chuck, thoughts on Thomas Jane coming away with the most underrated performance? Do you feel like he is deserving?
I definitely think he's deserving. For whatever reason, I don't feel like he gets a lot of credit for that movie. I think people just kind of glossed over it, and maybe because it's been done a few times and, you know, not long after it, a couple of years afterwards, there was another one with, is it Ray Stevens or Stevenson? I can never remember.
Ray Stevenson.
Stevenson, okay. Who I like, by the way. I like him a lot, too. And now, obviously, we have John Bernthal in the Daredevil series and stuff, but I feel like Tom Jane kind of got... brushed aside a little bit, and I really, really enjoy that movie, and I think he did a great job with just sort of getting the persona of the Punisher and that brooding performance. I really like what he did with it.
Thoughts on him, Greg?
That's why I voted for him, too. Alfred Molina is definitely up there, too, I think, and Brian Cox never really registered to me, really, as... that great of a character in the X-Men movie. I don't know. He just really didn't do that much for me. I thought Alfred Molina was really good in Spider-Man, but I think Thomas Jane was definitely my favorite Punisher. I really enjoyed that Punisher movie that he was in. I wish there was a sequel to that one. But
Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that, actually.
Oh, you gotta watch that, dude.
We really talked about it on like our second episode 2 years ago.
I know, so. I'm sorry.
Hey, let's stop right now and watch it.
The sad part is, Greg, I haven't watched it yet either. So
it's only like 10 minutes long.
I know, but where am I going to find the time? And it costs so much
money. Ain't nobody
money.
Got time for that.
I went with Ryan Cox because, you know, X-Men 2 is one of my favorite Marvel movies. And I think if you go back and watch it, the guy holds his own. You know, he's just this regular, normal human dude, but he's going against the entire X-Men, and he makes it work because of his performance. Like, he can go toe-to-toe with all these characters. I think he's a great actor.
I do like the chain that was over his face at the end of the movie. That was a very weird, odd choice with that chain going down the side of his face.
He likes chains in his face, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
He's tied up to a helicopter with chains, and there's one randomly in the middle of his face.
I do actually like him a lot in that Dan as well. He would definitely be my second choice for that. I could see where you voted for him.
Alrighty. Well, now on the other end of the spectrum, as we go, the worst performance in a comic book movie. And the nominees are Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin.
Yes. If I must suffer, humanity will suffer with me. I shall repay it for sentencing me to a life without the warmth of human comfort. I will blanket the city in endless winter. First, Gotham. And then, the world!
January Jones in X-Men First Class.
Excellent question. Though I wouldn't call it a war exactly. That suggests both sides stand an equal chance of winning.
And Halle Berry in Catwoman.
You hear that? It's called silence. That's all I ever wanted. Now keep it down. Thanks for the party. I had fun.
And the winner, I guess? I don't know if you'd go with winner. I don't know. And the winner of it is Arnold Schwarzenegger in Batman and Robin.
Yes.
I also voted for him, Chuck.
I need to destroy the battered bird.
Yeah, it's hard to deny the awfulness that was that character. It did not help that he had some of the worst lines in the history of movies.
But it didn't help that he, like, I felt like the other two actors that were nominated at least tried to get in some kind of role, but I feel like Arnold was just like, show me what I need to say, and I'm just going to say it. Like, yeah. I do in every other movie. Like, there was no trying with him in this.
Like, there's two words in here that are not ice puns. Can we change that? Because I need ice puns in every other word, so... Yeah, I almost went to January Jones just because there's so much great actors around her that it's almost, she's so bad that she almost brings it down. But yeah, there's no beating Arnold Schwarzenegger in when it comes to Batman and Robin.
Yeah, but she's so bad, she's good.
Except when she's eating her child's afterbirth. Yeah, she did that when she had her kid in real life. There's something
odds
about
in real life. You can't hold that against her.
It's gross.
Did she name her kid February?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Alrighty. So we're going to go next to the best performance in a bad comic book movie. And the nominees are Chris Evans in Fantastic Four.
That was a joke. I was joking. Why are you so down on me? You don't even know me.
Actually, I know you very well. I read your personality profile. Confident, reckless, irresponsible, self-obsessed, bordering on narcissism.
Okay, so you do know me.
Hugh Jackman in X-Men 3.
You would die for them.
No, not for them. For you. For you.
Save me.
I love you.
And Michael Clark Duncan in Daredevil.
Wesley, did you know back in ancient times, they would cut the tongues out of their bodyguards their first day on the job? You think that's horrible, don't you? Because you don't like the physical stuff. I do.
And the winner is Michael Clark Duncan in Daredevil.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So the interesting thing about this, like this was one that we actually all voted for separate ones. So I went with my second choice, which was Michael Clark Duncan. And my my first choice was actually Chris Evans, but you guys went with went other ways, and then I went with
MCD.
Yeah, so it was tough. I think Hugh Jackman is quite good in X-Men 3, but I feel like he's just as good in X-Men 1 and 2, so it was unfair. Maybe should have chose someone else. But, Chuck, I know you did not vote for Michael Clark Duncan. I know you liked Daredevil, so I don't know if that's because you thought it was disqualified because it's not a bad movie, or are you a fan of his performance in that?
I think that my thought process there was, like you mentioned, I did kind of like that movie. I actually didn't mind Affleck's performance so much in that movie. So, like, I looked at sort of, like, I voted for Hugh Jackman in X-Men 3 because I thought he was the bright spot of X-Men 3. there were so many things that they screwed up and angered me so much over, screwing up Juggernaut and all these other characters. But I was like, you know what? Hugh Jackman was the constant in that movie. He was pretty awesome. So I guess that's why I voted for him.
Yeah.
See, I didn't go with Hugh Jackman because of the reason that Dan said that he was so good in the first two, and the third one, it's just par Hugh Jackman being good in everything kind of situation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he does get a little bit more like with his relationship with Jean Grey, but still, yeah. Man. Anyways, to see there's so good to be had in bad movies. So, all right, one more award for the performance category. And we have the best performance by a non-superhero in a comic book.
Emily Bett Rickards.
I don't know who that is.
Felicity Smoke.
Oh. we didn't go TV. I should have thought of that. But the nominees for this are J.K. Simmons in Spider-Man.
We barely get a glimpse of him.
Oh, what is he, shy? If we can get a picture of Julia Roberts in a thong, we can certainly get a picture of this weirdo. Put an ad on the front page. Cash money for a picture of Spider-Man. He doesn't want to be famous, and I'll make him infamous.
And Michael Caine in The Dark Knight.
Targeting me won't get their money back. I knew the mob wouldn't go down without a fight, but this is different. They've crossed the line.
You crossed the line, Verso. You squeezed them, you hammered them to the point of desperation. And in their desperation, they turned to a man they didn't fully understand.
Criminals aren't complicated, Alfred. We just need to figure out what he's after.
With respect, Master Wayne, perhaps this is a man you don't fully understand either. A long time ago, I was in Burma. My friends and I were working for the local government. They were trying to buy the loyalty of tribal leaders by bribing them with precious stones. But their caravans were being raided in a forest north of Rangoon by a bandit. So we went looking for the stones. But in 6 months, we never met anyone who traded with him. One day, I saw a child playing with a ruby the size of a tangerine. The bandit had been throwing them away.
So why steal them?
Well, because he thought it was good sport. Because some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world.
And Rosemary Harris in Spider-Man.
You'll never guess who he wants to be. Spider-Man.
Why?
Well, he knows a hero when he sees one. Too few characters out there flying around like that, saving old girls like me. And Lord knows, kids like Henry need a hero. Courageous, self-sacrificing people, setting examples for all of us. Everybody loves a hero. People line up for them, cheer them, scream their names, and years later they'll tell how they stood in the rain for hours just to get a glimpse of the one who taught him to hold on a second longer. I believe there's a hero in all of us. that keeps us honest, gives us strength, makes us noble, and finally allows us to die with pride, even though sometimes we have to be steady and give up the thing we want the most. Even our dreams.
And the winner is J.K. Simmons in Spider-Man.
Nice.
Yeah. Get in here. thoughts on his J.K. Simmons guck in Spider-Man.
Oh, I loved his character so much. J.K. Simmons is hilarious. I honestly think he was the perfect guy for that role. And I've kind of like, because of that, I've followed him in other stuff now. And yeah. I just really enjoy watching him. Like, even he had a small quirky role in Terminator Genesis. I thought was really amusing. All the farmers insurance commercials, I think I find those hilarious. I just love that guy. I think he's hilarious. And he had the perfect voice for Jameson in Spider-Man. And like, he just did it so well.
Greg, I think you went with Michael Caine in Dark Knight. Do you think he...
I had to. It's Michael Caine.
Well, that's true. I mean, can't argue with Michael Caine, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do like J.K. Simmons. He would definitely be a very close second for me.
Yeah, I went with Simmons just because he was... every time he was on screen, he made that character. Like, I can't at all see anyone ever doing that character in live action again. I could see someone doing Alfred again. I mean, it's going to happen in the next movie, but... I can't imagine them. I think that's why they didn't even try to bother bringing him into The Amazing Spider-Man, because it's like, unless you're going to get J.K. Simmons, why even bother? So. Alrighty. Well, last year we did a section on action heroes. This year we're going to do a different genre with science fiction. And our first science fiction award is around most iconic line. And the nominees are: May the Force be with you.
Hey, Luke. May the Force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper. Image of Serac. Father of all we now hold true.
Roads. Where we're going, we won't need no roads.
We don't need no stinking roads.
We better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
And the winner is there any question? May the Force be with you.
That line Force. Is that movie, so.
Yeah. What movie is that from?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's from the Ewok movie. Is that that's the Ewok special?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I think Ewok they may Village have people. Said it once in the holiday special as well.
Oh, you know, it's from that movie Fanboys. You know, that's where it is.
Right.
I did Blue enjoy Harvest. That movie.
Ewok Village People.
All right. Any other thoughts on me? I think it's self-explanatory. It's the best line in the history of television and movies. Man. All right, moving on to the next category. Coolest alien race. And the nominees are Wookiees.
The droids have started up their main power generators.
Then now the time is, Commander.
Yes, sir.
Klingons.
Commander, you're not eating very much.
I'm not that hungry.
Is the food all right, Commander?
It's delicious. Pippia's claw was excellent. I also enjoyed this Breggit lung.
And the roe keg blood pie.
Delicious.
Good. Then you'll also enjoy this.
Isn't that Gough?
Very good. You did some research on our nutritional choices.
Yes, but... still moving.
Gra is always best when served live.
And Skrulls.
The invasion of the Skrulls is the greatest threat this planet has ever faced.
This is what the enemy wants. To tear us apart with paranoia and mistrust.
If we're going to make it out alive, we're going to have to keep our friends close and our enemies even closer.
Whoa! You guys are going to be cool, right? Everyone, just be cool!
I can't believe this is happening. We can't let this be the end.
The infiltration has begun.
Immediate global threat.
Look out, Avengers. Fury out.
And the winners are... The winners are Skrulls. Greg, I know, I think you voted for Wookiees over Skrulls. Is just because, you know, you have to let the Wookiee win?
Yes, and they're adorable, and I would like to hug one.
I wouldn't mind hugging a Wookiee, but Chuck, I know you want Skrulls like I did as well. Why are Skrulls the coolest alien race?
Because they can shapeshift into whatever they want.
They can, and they can secretly invade.
Right, they can, and have a really good story up until the very end. I'm not digging the creepy chin thing. They kind of got the Thanos chin going on every single Skrull character, but I don't know. I just like the fact that they're a super advanced race. They can shape change into whoever they want, and even did some really crazy experiments and creating characters like Super Skrull and stuff, who is probably one of my favorite villains. I find him pretty cool. So
yeah, I was thinking back to the like Secret Invasion storyline, where you have all these different Skrulls with like Cyclops's Vision and, you know, Wolverine's claws, and they're all like mimic characters, and it was insane what they can do. So I thought that was really cool. So that put him over the top. But if it was biggest badasses, I'd probably go with Wookiees, but for coolest ones, I want Skrulls. I don't know.
I couldn't go Klingons because, I mean, every time, Wookie. I mean, come on. Every now. Time I take my clothes out of the dryer, I gotta pull this thing off of the clothing. I don't like it.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, we did best alien races, coolest alien races. Let's go with best robot races, and the nominees are Cybermen, not Daleks, because Daleks are not robots.
Lesson learned.
Get away from the machines! Do what they say! Don't fight them! Don't shoot!
Who are they?
We are the Cybermen. The ghost shift will be increased to 100%.
Online.
Here come the ghosts.
Autobots.
Wheeljack! Ironhide, Mirage, Sunstreaker, Sideswipe, Autobots, start your engines!
Ready, Prime?
Let's roll!
And Terminators.
My CPU is intact, but I cannot control my other functions.
You don't have to do this.
You don't want to do this.
Desire is irrelevant. I am a machine.
And the winner is Terminators. Greg, I know you you threw your love for Doctor Who.
I did.
Some transparency. I threw Daleks because I thought Daleks were robots, but I guess I'm mistaken.
No. They're not robots. They just look like it out on the outside, but that's essentially kind of like their spacesuit. But there is a living creature inside.
They kind of
look like Krang from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, nice. We should have included him in something and did not. But are you, Chuck, you voted for Terminators like myself? You're talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger with sunglasses and a cool jacket and sawed off shotgun. Is that just end of story right there?
Now, actually, I didn't think of Arnold right away. I sort of thought of those glimpses you see of the future with all the T-800s kind of marching across the landscape. And I always thought, like, cause I was young when I saw the movie, I thought that was incredibly frightening to see these scary looking, Terminators that have like skulls, because you know, you could make a robot and not make it look ugly, but somehow they made it look incredibly frightening just for shits and giggles. So I just thought that was pretty cool. I love Terminators.
I remember Terminator 2 came out when we were kids, and I ended up loving it, and I got tons of, like, Terminator toys. They had these different lines of different Terminators, and I don't know. I've always been a fan of that character. So the other ones, again, Cybermen, I'm not too familiar with, but, you know, they're from Doctor Who, so there's some things going for them there. And you mean Transformers, Autobots are cool, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm thinking back towards the movie, and I shouldn't be, but I'd give me Terminators over Transformers any day of the week. But I know that's sacrilegious to say at Geek Ass Radio, but what are you going to do? All right, move on to the next award, which is Best Spaceship Captain. And the nominees are Han Solo.
Han Solo, I'm Captain of the Millennium Falcon. Chewie here tells me you're looking for passage to the Alderaan system.
Yes, indeed. If it's a fast ship.
Fast ship? You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon?
Should I have?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. I've outrun Imperial starships. Not the local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking about the big Carillion ships now. She's fast enough for you, old man.
Captain Picard.
We've made too many compromises already. Too many retreats. They invade our space, and we fall back. They assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here! This far, no farther!
Captain Kirk.
I'm in command. I could order this. But I'm not. Because Dr. McCoy is right in pointing out the enormous danger potential in any contact with life and intelligence as fantastically advanced as this. But I must point out that the possibilities, the potential for knowledge and advancement is equally great. Risk. Risk is our business. That's what this starship is all about. That's why we're aboard her. You may descend without prejudice. Do I hear a negative vote?
And the winner is, make it so, Captain Luc Picard.
Wow.
Yes, I know. I don't know how big a Star Trek fans any of us are, but I know, Greg, you did vote for Captain Picard.
Yes,
what
I
was
did.
Your reasoning?
My reasoning was, A, Kirk was just kind of goofy, like crazy. I didn't care. I'm more of a Picard guy if I'm going Star Trek, and I voted Star Trek over Star Wars is because Han Solo is a captain of a ship with two people. Picard is a captain of a ship with a whole shit ton of people on it, and I think it takes more captaining skills to control all of those people over Han Solo being a captain of him and a giant Wookiee. So,
Chuck, I know you voted for Han Solo, so why do you think Han Solo was the best captain out of all those three?
I guess not much of a reason, just he's probably my favorite of the three.
He does know some maneuvers, so...
He does, he lists lazily to the left, so I figured that was enough to evade pretty much anything.
Yeah, I went with the same kind of mindset that you did, Greg. I prefer Han Solo as a character, but if I'm thinking
yes.
ship captain, I'll probably go with Picard. I think he is less likely to get me killed than Han Solo. Yeah. what have you. But alrighty, move on to the next category, and that is Best Science Fiction Villain. And the nominees are Darth Vader.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do. You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will not turn, and you'll be forced to kill me.
If that is your destiny.
The Xenomorphs from Alien.
I'm not Claire Lambert. I want to get the hell out of here.
Oh, God. It's moving right towards you. Move. Get out of there. Don't you move. Dad. Move, Dad. Move, Dad. Get out.
And Biff from Back to the Future.
Look, Biff, somebody already asked me to the dance.
Who? Huh, that bug George McFly?
I'm going with Calvin Klein, okay?
Calvin Klein? No, it's not okay. You're going with me, understand?
Get your cooties off of me!
When are you going to get it through your thick skull, Lorraine? You're my girl.
Biff Tannen, I wouldn't be your girl even if you had $1 million. Ah!
And the winner is... Darth Vader, of course. Darth Vader. I'll start with this one because actually I voted for... I was the only one that didn't vote for Vader. I went with the Xenomorphs, but mostly because I don't know what it is about those creatures. I just think they're really cool. And the fact that they bleed acid and have that awesome little mouth thing and the face huggers and they burst from their chest. I don't know. I find them to be like these super intimidating, awesome creatures. But Darth Vader is Darth Vader, so I can't really deny him winning this. Chuck, you happy Vader's taking home the best villain crown for a science fiction movie? Is it deserving?
Yeah, I think so. I will agree the Xenomorphs are pretty badass, but I feel like we're doing the badass bracket right now. Flashback, major flashback. Vader's pretty awesome though. Don't get me wrong, Biff is definitely the most hilarious of the three choices.
I agree with that.
If he won this award, he would like trip, fall over, and land in a pyre manure somehow. So.
Somehow he would find manure. Like, even if he was in outer space on a spaceship, he would find a giant pile of manure somewhere. But Vader can choke people, like, without touching them, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Greg, should Vader win this award simply based upon his theme song?
Yes, he does have the coolest theme song ever. The only thing that was kind of taking me opposite of Vader and choosing something else was his whole backstory with Anakin, the prequels kind of killed his vibe a little bit, but I still think he is quite badass.
I can't disagree. I mean, Vader is one of the most iconic characters of all time, so it's almost unfair to put anyone else in this, but hey, what are you going to do? That's how it goes. Alrighty, moving on to the last award in this category, and that is most likely to survive an attack from the Predator. Kind of a random award, but an important one when you think about it. The nominees are Ripley from Alien.
Get away from her, you bitch!
Chewbacca, or Chewbacca.
You made a fair move. Screaming about it can't help you.
I don't have it. It's not wise to upset a Wookiee.
But, sir, nobody worries about upsetting a droid.
That's because a droid don't pull people's arms out of their sockets when they lose. Wookiees are known to do that.
I see your point, sir. I suggest a new strategy, R2. Let the Wookiee win.
And? RoboCop.
Come quietly, or there will be trouble.
Ah, fuck you!
And the winner is Chewbacca. And this was actually one, again, we all voted for separate ones, so I had to try to pick out which. I went with RoboCop. I thought RoboCop had the best chance just because of that gun. I think he can go toe-to-toe. But, so I had to choose between Ripley and... the Wookiee, and I think Ripley's a great character, but I just didn't know if she could. She has the strength and the might of a Wookiee. Not many do, so I think by default Chewbacca's running away from this. If anything, finally Chewbacca is getting that medal he deserves. We are the ones giving it to him. So, Greg, I know you voted for Ripley. So what was your stance on why she would survive the attack?
Well, she survived an alien attack, so why couldn't she survive a predator attack as well?
She's
got a good track record with it. Plus, I thought RoboCop would be kind of slow in his attack on a predator. And Chewbacca, I don't know why I didn't vote for Chewbacca, really. I just thought Ripley kind of had the experience.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair for sure. But it's going to Chewbacca, and rightfully so. So, alrighty, moving on to the next section of these awards. And we're doing, once again, comic book awards. In the first category, we have most overused power when it comes to comic books. And the nominees are Flight, Healing Factor, and Random Energy Blast. Which one of those is the most overused power? The winner is Random Energy Blast.
Yes.
Chuck, why do you think this is an overused power?
I couldn't think of too many people with the Healing Factor other than like Wolverine and Deadpool and a couple other ones, but I didn't feel like it was to the point that it was overused. Flight is... obviously, there's a ton of characters that can fly, but I think it's like usually it's essential to that character or whatever they're trying to do in that moment. But I don't know. I feel like energy blast, like everyone has some sort of energy blast, whether they can do it on their own or whether they have a weapon that can do it. Like it's just, I don't know. Like you look at like Bishop and Cable. I know Cable has other powers, but like, they have these giant futuristic guns that just shoot these crazy energy blasts. It's like,
it was huge in the 90s. Like everyone would have energy blasts coming from their hands for no apparent reason.
Well, that's why they needed all those pouches. That's where they keep the energy blasts.
I love Healing Factor because, yeah, because you do have Wolverine, but you have every like Wolverine-related character, Sabretooth, X-23, Deadpool. Some characters like... Even Flash has like an accelerated healing power, which makes sense, but I feel like I'm doing an injustice, but I feel like there's even more and more characters now all have some sort of healing factor in some way, which kind of gets a little bit annoying, but I can't really deny a lot of people have just random energy blasts for no apparent reason. So, but especially any cosmic character, but I guess, you know, that's power cosmic for you. So any thoughts on that, Greg?
Yeah, I just thought the other two were... I voted for Energy Blast. I thought the other two were kind of passive powers that were kind of in the background of the character, kind of. And I feel like Energy Blasts were kind of more in-your-face kind of type of power that were just a little bit more annoying of being used so much.
Alrighty. All right, well, we're in election season, so it makes sense. Comic book character that would make the best president. And the nominees are Steve Rogers.
All they want is to live their lives in peace. And that's not going to happen today. But we can do our best to protect them. And we can get the job done. We find out what Ultron's been building. We find Romanoff. And we clear the field. Keep the fight between us. Ultron thinks we're monsters, that we're what's wrong with the world. This isn't just about beating him. It's about whether he's right.
Tony Stark?
Is it better to be feared or respected? And I say, is it too much to ask for both? With that in mind, I humbly present the crown jewel of Stark Industries' Freedom Line. It's the first missile system to incorporate our proprietary repulsor technology. They... say the best weapon is one you never have to fire. I respectfully disagree. I prefer the weapon you only have to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
And Clark Kent.
That man won't quit as long as he can still draw a breath. None of my teammates will. Me? I've got a different problem. I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone. never allowing myself to lose control, even for a moment, or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am.
And the winner is, and I guess new comic book president, Steve Rogers, with a clean sweep. We all went with Captain nice. America. Surprised at all about that, Greg, that it's we all voted for the good old Steve Rogers?
Not really, because he has some great leader capabilities. He kind of knows. His character is America. Like, he's the representation in comic book form. Plus, with Clark Kent, two goody two shoes. I'm not sure if Superman he's kind of a solo guy for the most part, if you ask me. And then who was the other character we had? Tony Stark. He's already proven that he cannot really lead too well, because he was in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D. once, and that was kind of a whole crazy thing.
It just led to Civil War. I mean, yeah. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Chuck, did this come down to you, a choice between Captain America and Superman?
You know me too well. Yeah, it did. I think what kind of swayed me was, like, it seems like Steve Rogers could be more of a commanding personality, sort of. Like, he knows how to keep people in line. He's not afraid to give orders with the military background and various training he's had. I think Superman's a good guy. He's got a great moral compass and everything, but I'm not sure he'd be as good at sort of taking command of a situation and bossing people around like a commander in chief would need to do, you know, in those situations where everyone is kind of losing their head and you need someone to really take charge and tell people what to do because they're not quite sure themselves. So I think Steve Rogers is best suited for that.
Yeah, definitely. I'll just say ditto, and we can move on to the next award. And what we had best president, what villain would make the worst president? And the nominees are the Joker.
But now I'm tanned, I'm rested, and I'm ready to give this old town a wedgie again. I have to know you're with me. Will you say it for me one time?
We're with you.
A little louder.
We're with you.
Dee Dee?
We're with you.
Boys?
We're with you.
Bonk? Oh, right. Dead. Dee Dee, be a lamb and sweep out the trash. There's the good girls.
Lex Luthor.
You're going to kill me so that Superman can't.
I'm a well-known crackpot. The Justice League's reputation will survive my actions, and Superman's legacy will remain intact.
Interesting plan. Unfortunately for you, it's not really an option. President? Foolish, faceless man. My campaign is a farce, a small part of a much grander scheme. President, do you know how much power I'd have to give up to be president?
And Dr. Doom.
But I am above all a reasonable man. Thus, I have granted your leaders 1 week to surrender to the rule of Doom or suffer total annihilation.
And the winner or loser is... The Joker would make the worst president. I can't kind of disagree with that. It was, again, a clean sweep here. Chuck, why do you think the Joker would make a much worse president than that of Lex Luthor or Dr. Doom?
Basically, I could sum it up in two words. Complete chaos. I feel like Lex Luthor, Dr. Doom, while evil and after their own selfish reasons, are still very smart men. Very resourceful men.
Most sane men.
Right. They may not be the most benevolent leader, but they would certainly come up with plans to make their country run efficiently. Of course, it would meet their means, but it would still be a form of leadership that would be very structured and stuff like that. I feel like the Joker would just be all over the friggin' place and doing absolutely nothing that resembles coherent thought. I don't think he would have any plan for anything. He would just be like, just seat of the pants, just flying around doing shit. I don't know.
I do think that'd be a great one-issue comic, though, just to see what that would be like. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the Joker with a finger on the button, I think that's scary. So you're along the same lines, Greg? You think just Joker?
Yeah, definitely. He's the most psychotic out of the bunch, and it's, you wouldn't know what was coming next for him. I think with Dr. Doom or Lex Luthor, you could kind of see where they're going at least and prepare for it. With Joker, you'd have no freaking clue.
Yeah, very true. Alrighty, next award, Best Cover Artist. By that, we don't mean people covering songs, but those actually creating covers of comic books. The nominees are Alex Ross, Steve Ditko, and Scotty Young. And the winner is, in a clean sweep, Alex Ross. I tried to, when we created these categories, there's a lot of great cover artists, but I went one ones that we've all talked about at one point here and there within this podcast. So, Greg, why did you end up, you're probably the biggest artist out of all of us. What is it about Alex
Ross? Yeah, I'm the biggest artist. I went with Alex Ross because you could picture his covers, his artwork being like displayed huge on a museum wall somewhere. With the others, it would definitely have to be a more niche museum, I think, more like a comic book museum. Still great artists in their own respects. But I love Scotty Young's artwork. I love Steve Ditko's. Scotty is kind of more of an inside interior work kind of guy for me. I still love his work. I still love his covers. But I still picture him more as interiors, and Steve Ditko, I kind of think more cover, more interior artwork than covers, even though he has done millions of covers probably. But Alex Ross, he's definitely the one that I could see in like a museum, like whatever the museum is. It doesn't have to be a niche kind of museum for him to be displayed on the wall.
Yeah. Chuck, question, and this is kind of a broad question, but anyone you would have nominated that was not listed here with these three artists?
I think the first one that might pop into my head is David Finch.
Yeah.
Really love his covers. Also, actually thinking a lot of like Andy Kubert, a lot of 90s X-Men stuff that I was a huge fan of, a lot of his covers.
I was shaking my head there, by the way, that entire time.
Yes or no, though. Checking could go either way.
I think yes.
Okay. I think a big one, obviously, everybody says Jim Lee. That's why I didn't really want to say him, but I do like him. But I think one that some people are probably screaming is Todd McFarlane. But
Yeah, probably.
Should. I mean, I like his stuff, but I think, like, you know, I think Alex Ross is the pinnacle. I mean, I really love all of his stuff, really, but you know, you've talked about Kingdom Come. I like the Justice, that three-part Justice series. I thought that artwork was amazing. Oh my gosh.
Alrighty. Last year we did Best X-Men Artist. This year, award is for Best X-Men Writer. And the nominees are Chris Claremont, Fabian Nyziezia.
God bless you.
Yeah. Bless you. And Josh Whedon. And the winner is, because obviously, Chris Claremont.
Because Batman.
Yeah, because, you know, Days of Future Past, Dark Phoenix Saga, it was pretty awesome. Greg, same question to you that I gave to Chuck. Any other X-Men writers that should have been nominated on here that weren't? I included Josh Whedon because he... One of my favorite runs.
Understandable. Now, when I think X-Men, I think Chris Claremont, quite frankly, to be honest. Stan Lee, maybe, but Stan Lee, like we mentioned in past episodes, Stan Lee is great creator, writing, not that great, but he's still an icon, a legend. But Chris Claremont is the one who made me love X-Men. So
yeah, and I thought too about Grant Morrison. I know he's like, but I don't think you guys read him.
He's a little crazy with his stories, yeah, and they get a little confusing. So
I went with ones I thought could at least create some tension. So.
And kudos to Chris Claremont for creating a story in Days of Future Past, a huge story in two issues.
Yeah.
like in an age where everything is blown out of proportion now, and it's like stretched across the entire year. We have these huge he did an amazing story in two issues.
So. Very nice. So that's the end of the Comic Awards. Moving over to the TV Awards. The first award is Best Marvel TV Show, and the nominees are Daredevil.
Why don't we start with what we know, then? You were found in your apartment with one Daniel Fisher.
Who appears to be the victim of a homicide, and currently you're the only suspect, Miss Page.
Who the hell are you guys?
I'm Matt. He's Foggy.
Who sent you?
Nonsense.
So what? You're just a couple of good Samaritans? Today's just my lucky day?
I bribed the desk sergeant with a box of cigars for his mom.
Our practice is relatively young, Miss Page, and we are aggressively pursuing new clientele. You gotta stop giving Beth cigars.
She likes to smoke, man. It's a free country.
How long have you been practicing law?
What time is it?
It's 12:22 a.m.
About 7 hours.
Agent Carter.
Procedure 791. Isolate the suspect and remove civilians from harm before attempting arrest.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
The man at the counter is Agent Mesner from Washington, D.C. The man behind me is Agent Reese.
SSR agent.
I need you to find a way to block the front door so that no one else can come in. I'll do the rest.
I'd love to.
Oh, 10 cents for a cup of coffee. Believe it.
And Jessica Jones.
Perhaps what happened to Hope has happened before.
Well, certainly if there are other people who feel they have been controlled by this Kilgrave character, they are more than welcome to contact my office, but it is more likely that my client experienced a psychotic break.
Hope has no history of mental illness, has shown no evidence since...
Trish, sounds like you believe this Kilgrave is real.
I believe it's naive to assume he isn't. So yes, I think he's out there. This sick, perverted man.
No, Trish, shut up.
On the hopeless so he can feel powerful. Probably terrified of his own weakness, which suggests impotence. And
you need to cut her mic right now.
We're in the middle of a broadcast.
Cut it!
Probably suggests some serious Oedipal issues.
What the hell are you doing?
He's listening, hearing you.
He'll hear the truth.
He doesn't want the truth.
And the winner is, in a clean sweep, Daredevil. Any surprise kind of seems like it's... We've talked about Jessica Jones, we talked about Daredevil, but it was, you know, it's an awesome show. We actually did an entire episode on it. Go back and listen to that. Hear our thoughts. It's great, so...
Good stuff.
Yeah, all right. We'll move on to the next one. Not much more to say with that one, I think. And the next award is Best DC Television Show, and the nominees are Flash.
Rod, you remember me?
Caitlin, always kind.
Why did you bring me here?
Help.
I don't understand.
How did I become Grodd?
Oh. That's a long story, Grodd. The dark matter from the particle accelerator explosion? That's how this happened.
Repeat.
Repeat?
Need to repeat, Grodd.
You want me to make more like you? I don't know how to do that.
Arrow.
So what, you're going to perform some kind of exorcism on my sister?
No, an exorcism is a removal of demonic possession. What your sister needs is a restitutionem, the restoration of her soul to her body.
And you've done this before?
Not once. Maybe a year ago. But don't worry, it's just like riding a bike.
I'm sure we have a lot of work to do to prepare. I assume you brought a list?
Apologies, I didn't have time to translate that from its original Aramaic. You know, if I knew you were surrounded by so many pretty girls, Oliver, I would have stopped by sooner.
When Oliver find this guy, the Luxor?
Oh, I'm just glad that the latest person from Oliver's past is not another gorgeous woman.
I'm not even gonna ask.
You got my message. I'm so happy you came.
I'm her father, too. I hate to be the one to say this, but what if something goes wrong?
Oh, don't worry. If things go wrong, then we'll all be too dead to care.
In Gotham.
Yeah, alrighty then. You see the big handsome fellow staring at you like you're fried chicken? Richard Ziadis. He's a millionaire. Got his own airplane, got a boat with a hot tub on it. And he killed 25 people. Just for fun.
So what?
So, he likes you. He wants to be your friend.
Let me think. No.
A girl needs a good friend in here. See, the guards, they don't care. They figure bad things happen to bad people. They happen all the time.
And the winner is Gotham. No, I'm lying. It's Flash. Come on.
I was gonna be like, what? Boycotting the Oscars.
Yeah. Again, we all voted for Flash. It's, I think, head and shoulders above all the other shows. So, question though: Flash versus Daredevil. Where are you guys going?
Flash.
I like the little bit more optimistic, a little bit more fun, so I'll go with Flash.
See, I go Daredevil.
I will say Daredevil is a much deeper show.
Yes.
I think it explores, like, the psychology of the characters and their story arc probably a lot more. But Flash is just a barrel of fun. I just love it.
yeah, definitely. But both are good shows. I think there is just more... And Daredevil that I was just jaw-dropping impressed by. But already moving on to the next category. Best villain in a television show. And the nominees are Zoom and Flash.
Look at your hero. This man is no god. He is nothing. The days of the Flash protecting this city are over.
Hold your fire!
Put him down!
Now, what will you do without your precious hero?
Shoot that thing now!
Kingpin and Daredevil.
Mr. Murdoch is thinking of purchasing some art. He was looking for some advice from a man of taste.
Well, that's simple. Buy whatever the lady tells you.
Thank you. Although we probably shouldn't be talking, I believe we're on opposite sides of a tenancy case.
Oh, you are?
Yes. The rental properties I recently acquired from Mr. Tully. But I'm sure that will be settled to everyone's benefit. The city has suffered long enough under the burden of poverty and decay. I believe we have opportunities now.
Wilson, Mr. Murdoch is a customer, not a donor.
So I apologize for the hard sell. The city and its future Seeing Hell's Kitchen to its fullest potential is very important to me.
I feel the same way.
And Kilgrave in Jessica Jones.
All right, yes! That was absolutely tremendous. I thought I was good. You are a sight to behold. Isn't she amazing? Yeah? You bore me. Leave. Go on. Leave him. He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Here I am, just debating where to eat, and then bam! There you are. Performing feats of heroism. Come here. Let me look at you. Come on. Jesus, you're a vision. Hair and skin. Appalling sense of fashion, but that can be remedied. And underneath it, all the power. Just like me.
And then winner is, and a clean sweep, we're going with Kingpin in Daredevil. I'm guessing, Chuck, this came, I know you were a huge fan of Zoom. Was it tough going with Kingpin over Daredevil? Or sorry,
yeah,
Kingpin over Zoom?
I originally thought Zoom, but what changed my mind was Zoom really isn't well established yet. We've only kind of seen him a couple times, and I'm very excited to see where they take that character and see where he ends up. But we saw a really big story arc with Kingpin, and we sort of saw him develop into the character that he is now. And I just really liked the way that they did that. And Vincent D'Onofrio, I think, did an awesome job from like exploring his personal life and how it intertwines with his business life. And it's just, I really thought it was amazing. So Zoom has quite a ways to go if he wants to be at that level. But I will say Zoom is more terrifying than Kingpin.
Yeah. Definitely different types. One looks at just Zoom's like incredible power with Kingpin's just flat out crazy. I mean, if Zoom, I just waiting for Zoom to crush someone's head in a car door. That's all, you know.
700 times in half a second.
Yeah, exactly. Alrighty, moving on to best male performance in a comic book show. And the nominees are Grant Gustin in Flash.
Flash.
You're Barth Thawne.
You know who I am?
You died! Good to know. And guess what, Flash? I know what time period you're from. So that means very soon, you will die.
Wentworth Miller in Flash.
It needs to end. Can't do that. It's what I do. And find a new line of work. Don't want to. Why's that? The same reason you keep running after guys like me. The adrenaline, the thrill of the chase. I love this game, and I'm very good at it. Then go play it somewhere else. Leave Central City. Can't do that either. I love it here. This city is my home. You've seen what I can do. You know that I can stop you. You want to keep pushing your luck? Go for it. But from here on out, no one else dies. If you're as good as you say you are, you don't have to kill anyone to get what you want. That's true.
And Charlie Cox in Daredevil.
Slap on top of that, he can take an unbelievable amount of punishment without one damn complaint.
The last part's the Catholicism.
So what, I'm supposed to take it on faith? I'm on the right side of this?
You don't carry a masked man bleeding to death into your apartment on faith. You knew which side you're on the moment you found me.
And the winner is Charlie Cox in Daredevil. I was kind of surprised by that. I know, Greg, you went with Charlie Cox like me. What was your what did you enjoy about his performance as Daredevil?
I think he definitely took Daredevil in a way that we haven't really seen him before. I think he did well with the whole blind thing, because I think that adds a whole another layer of challenges to it than just straight out acting in a role. I think that definitely gives a challenge. Plus, I didn't know who the person you were talking about in Flash was.
Captain Cold.
Oh, it's Captain Colt. All right.
He's a lot. If you've not watched Legends of Tomorrow, he's a lot of fun in that show.
It's a very kind of. He's funny, but he's kind of monotone. I'm not sure if that takes a lot to act. I'm not an actor, but I think the challenge of acting like you're blind and everything and pulling off doing miraculous things while you're blind is kind of a hard thing to do.
Chuck, a little sad that Grant Gustin didn't walk away with this award.
Absolutely. Nothing to take away from the other guys, but the reason I went with Grant Gustin, I just think he's absolutely perfect for the Flash role. Even from the first episode I saw him in the show, it's like that's Barry Allen. Like he's goofy, he's quirky, he's joking around, he's always smiling. Even when things are pretty serious, he's usually got a good sense of humor about it. And I think he portrays Barry Allen really, really well. Not to take away anything from the other guys, I really love everything that the other two guys are doing as well. Like you said, Wentworth Miller's is fantastic, and Charlie Cox did a great job, but something about Grant Gustin fitting that role perfectly. It's kind of like a Professor Xavier with Patrick Stewart type of thing. It's like, yep, perfect.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Alrighty, moving on to the next category. Now it's the women's turn. Best female performance in a comic.
Emily Bett Rickards in Arrow.
Unfortunately, she was not nominated. Maybe she should have been. But the nominees actually are Hayley Atwell in Agent Carter.
Dr. Wilkes has designed a containment chamber to stabilize himself, but he needs a sample of zero matter. I intend to get that sample from Whitney Frost.
Okay.
The best chance that we have of getting close to Whitney without being detected is her husband's campaign fundraiser tomorrow night at the MacArthur Grand Hotel.
Not an easy ticket to get.
Howard Stark donates money to all the political candidates to ensure good favor with whomever wins. So Mr. Jarvis has two tickets secured.
Of course he does.
We can modify this vacuum syringe from the SSR to get the sample of zero matter. We use the crowd to our advantage, we get close enough to puncture her skin, and then we make a hasty exit without any fuss.
Deborah Ann Wolfe in Daredevil.
Like I said, he was a nice guy. We met at the Three Roads Bar on 49th Street. We had a few drinks, and the next thing that I remember is waking up on the floor of my apartment covered in blood. His blood. No, I'm not stupid. I know how that sounds. But I'm telling you, we met at the bar, we had a few drinks, and I don't know what happened after that. It wasn't me. Please. Please, you have to believe me. I didn't kill him.
I believe you, Miss Page.
And Kristen Ritter in Jessica Jones.
New York may be the city that never sleeps, but it sure does sleep around. Not that I'm complaining. Cheaters are good for business. A big part of the job is looking for the worst in people. Turns out I excel at that. Clients hire me to find dirt, and I find it. Which shouldn't surprise them, but it does.
That bitch! She's sleeping with my brother?
Knowing it's real means they gotta make a decision. One, do something about it. Or two, keep denying it. Shoot the messenger. Tell me I'm getting off on ruining their already shitty lives. Option two rarely pans out.
And the winner is Hayley Atwell in Agent Carter, who's really, I guess, the second place to Felicity. But anyways, Greg, besides your love for Felicity, what are your thoughts on Hayley Atwell in Agent Carter?
I think it's like Chuck said with Grant Gustin. I think she just was made for that part and everything. And she's the one that really makes that show for me. And she's one of the reasons that I view that show she's one of the ones that makes it as great as it is. So yeah, Kristen Ritter, I thought did a good job. It wasn't anything that really stood out in my mind, to be quite honest.
Chuck, any reaction to the Peggy Carter or Hayley Atwell winning this award?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Obviously, I voted for her, but I got just a bit of a crush on her. I got to admit, I like her a lot. And like I mentioned before, too, I like how she can switch between the two accents, like the British and the English, like seamlessly. And, you know, I love a woman that can do voices. You know, that's a turn.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it'd be like Mystique in like the Terminator. I don't know.
Mystique Terminator. Yeah, there you go. It's getting weird here tonight. It's
It's just like two people that can imitate any voice. Like,
yeah. It's like,
so you're into the Terminator in that way.
Hey, I can connect with him, you know. I have somewhat of a bond with him because of that, you know.
Alrighty. Well, we're moving on to the last category, the last section of tonight, with the 2015 awards, awards that are directly related to 2015. The first award is her biggest breakout star in 2015. The nominees are Michael B. Jordan from Creed, Daisy Ridley from that little movie called Star Wars, and Charlie Cox in Daredevil. And the winner is, in a clean sweep, Daisy Ridley from Star Wars. Chuck, I know she doesn't do voices, but I still think you're a fan, if I'm not mistaken.
I am. I really like her. She's no Hayley Atwell, but...
what if she does do voices, and that'd be crazy?
That would be crazy. That would be quite a... Wow! I mean, boom! I think she was incredibly charming in Star Wars. I was pleasantly surprised of what she brought to that role. Like, it was so like just a weird side that I didn't expect from like the hero of the story. Like, it was interesting the way she did that character. So I didn't go with Michael B. Jordan because I felt like he already kind of was a star a little bit.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, could we go with John Boyega? But I'm like, I don't know. I figured I'd try to spread the love a little bit, but
yeah,
I think he got to another level at least.
Yeah, Creed was like sort of a breakout thing, so I mean, I could see that. But I had no clue who Daisy Ridley was before this, so I was like, yeah, definitely.
She think truly breakout star for sure. She did nothing before, now she's a huge star. So. Alrighty. Now, biggest letdown of 2015, and the nominees are Fantastic Four, Terminator Genesis, and Supergirl. And the winner is Fantastic Four. I'll go on this one, because actually, around this time last year, I wrote a nice article trying to explain why Fantastic Four might actually be good. Yeah. Yeah, I ate major crow on that one. It's
good try, Dan.
Yeah, I tried really hard, and the movie came out, and now I regret everything. So, unfortunately, just still what I'm saying, don't listen to me. So that was a huge letdown. You know, I think we talked about it before. We weren't nearly as let down on Terminator Genesis as many people, and I think, Chuck, you're indicating that Supergirl has gotten better. So maybe it shouldn't be on the list either. So I don't know, but alrighty.
Wasn't there something else that we talked about that was a disappointment? Like a show? Maybe I'm thinking of Gotham. I don't know. Just because of the hype for Gotham before it came out. But you, like you've said, that's getting a lot better. So.
Alrighty. Next category. Best action sequence of 2015. The nominees are Daredevil's hallway fight, Flash versus Arrow fight, in the Ant-Man train sequence. And the winner is Daredevil's hallway fight. Yeah, I think that's kind of the moment that cemented Daredevil, or Netflix. Yeah. It's kind of like launched. It's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be something different. So, Greg, you happy this is winning?
Oh, yeah. Because that like blew my mind when I saw it. I'm like, oh, wow, they're doing this. That's really cool. That's even better than a lot of movie action scenes that I've seen.
Yeah. Chuck, thoughts?
Just the sheer amazement when I was watching that scene, and then kind of learning that it was done in one take, where they had, stunt doubles and dashing in and out of rooms and stuff and pulling that off, just the exhaustion that would be involved in a 5-minute fight scene without stopping. And it just completely amazed me after I learned that, going back and watching it again. It's like, oh my gosh, like, how did they do this? Like, it's so awesome.
Yeah. I remember the next day, like, after Daredevil came out, like, that was just everywhere. Everyone just, that video of just that fight, it was insane. So,
yeah.
Well deserving. Alrighty, moving on to the biggest surprise of 2015. So, spoiler alert, I guess, for everything 2015 related. So, you're warned. Biggest surprise in Age of Ultron, Vision lifting Mjolnir. Yeah.
Mew Mew.
The death of Han Solo.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry. And the new Batman from DC. Jim Gordon becomes Batman. And the winner is, somewhat surprising to me, Vision lifting Mjolnir. It was, again, another category where we all voted for separate ones. So I ended up going with my second choice, which was Vision. But I voted for, originally, the death of Han Solo. And I think you guys voted otherwise. So, anyways. So that ended up becoming the most surprising moment of 2015. So, I don't know. Any thoughts on that winning?
I didn't go with Death Han Solo because I kind of had a hunch that he wasn't going to make it through this movie before I went to see it. So it's like,
especially once he walks on the catwalk, it's like,
soon as he steps out on the catwalk, I'm like, he's dead. I wasn't even
dead man walking.
I wasn't even fooled by any of it either. How, like, you know, Kylo's like playing all the, you know, oh, I'm struggling, you know, please help me come. I'm like, no, you're going to kill him. You know, fool me.
You're going to do it, aren't you? You're going to add him, aren't you? Alrighty. Moving on to, we got two more categories left. The second to last category we have, most improved from 2015. So this is stuff that we did not meet standards in 2014, but things that seem to get better in 2015. And the nominees are Gotham, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Arrow. And the winner is Arrow for its improvement in its most recent season. I know, Greg, you are behind, but I know you have been catching up with Gotham. And I think you've been, if I'm not mistaken, thinking that it actually maybe deserves this over Arrow.
I think that was kind of me looking at the page going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
So you're like an Oscar voter, is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah. Right. But yeah, I thought Gotham definitely improved. I thought all of them kind of improved. I'm not totally caught up on everything, so I wasn't quite sure where to vote in this. I was kind of confused on where I should vote with being so behind on things.
Yeah, again, just like, see, we're keeping the tradition alive with the Oscars, not watching, just voting on what goes on. But Chuck, you went with Arrow as well. Have you been more impressed with this most recent season?
Yeah, definitely. Like, season 3 was kind of a letdown in a lot of areas, and I think only because of its inconsistency. Like, there were a lot of high points that I did enjoy, but it was so up and down, like, from week to week, and he had boring episodes and things that weren't adding up. And I just felt like it was just too up and down and inconsistent throughout the year. And this year I've been liking a lot better, liking some of the different angles they're taking and things. I'm not crazy about Damian Dark's character, so that is a little bit of a disappointment, but I think overall consistency of episodes and everything, I think it is all very much improved from last season. So
I too feel a little bit ashamed as I am not caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I've heard this recent season has been pretty great. So maybe we gave it to the wrong thing. Who knows? But that's what we do here. So, alrighty. Well, it all comes down to this. The last award, the ultimate geek moment of 2015. And the nominees are Star Wars, the Marvel Netflix series, and the DC TV mega crossovers. And the winner is Star Wars, of course. When you think about it, last year, one of the Ultimate Geek Moments nominees was just Star Wars trailer. The actual movie coming out is going to be, of course, a huge winner. But I know, Chuck, you went with the DC TV crossovers. Is it just thinking just a slight more geekiness than that of the Star Wars movie?
Yeah, I think for me, for whatever reason, I just get super geeked out with all these crossovers. And it's a gimmick, but it's working on me. I guess with Star Wars, like, I mean, I felt like everyone else was more hyped than I was. Like, I was excited for it and everything. And don't get me wrong, I was very happy with the movie, but it was very much the... I gotta be careful how I word this so I don't get death threats, but it was very much like, very much the same movie as A New Hope. And in a lot of ways. So I was kind of like... It was very cool geek moment, but I kind of was like, I feel like I've seen this before, and the DC crossover stuff is like, it's just this whole new area for me, and you know, with these awesome new characters and everyone's mingling together and using each other's powers in creative ways and stuff. So I just get a little bit more into that, just a tad.
Yeah. I've enjoyed those, but I think to me, the experience of Star Wars was on another level. It's hard to compete, I think, but it's just like this actually coming out, just actually being a thing, it being reminiscent of the original Star Wars, I think wasn't a downfall for me. I think having that feeling, I think it almost enhanced it in a way. But anyways, there's just an abundance of great things, and the Marvel Netflix stuff I thought has been great. Daredevil was freaking amazing. So, but Greg, any thoughts on those?
Yeah, I just felt like with Star Wars, it was kind of like, it felt like everybody was just holding their breath, and then finally it came out, and it was just like a big release for everybody. Like, yeah. Oh my God, finally. So that's kind of why I went with Star Wars.
Yeah, so great year in 2015 for geekdom, as we just went over. But what we would like to do is hear your thoughts on the Geek Oscars, where we get it right, where we get it wrong. Who should be hosting next year? We'll see if we can get Seth MacFarlane. I don't think he'll be hosting the regular Oscars anytime soon. So, in order to do that, you can contact us by sending us an email at feedback@geekcastradio.com or talkingincircles@live.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Create Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now.
This has been Chuck.
This has been Greg, or announcer guy. Not really, though. That's Chuck.
That's because he does voices. And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. I think your announcer guy does sound like the dude from Seinfeld, if I'm not mistaken. So,
who is yes.
The best announcer voice ever?
John O'Hurley.
Yeah.
Who also did Family Feud.
Watch different Family Feuds and then see if Harvey's doing it. He actually gives the right person the award.
Exactly. Are you going to play or pass? Oh, we're going to play. Okay, pass it is. Poor Steve Harvey. He really did feel bad about that.
That's, who cares? It's Miss Universe, let's be honest. Okay.
I put a funny thing up on Facebook. After the Broncos beat the Patriots, I had this picture of Steve Harvey, and at the bottom I wrote, "Good luck to the New England Patriots."